Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Like, they see my TikTok. They don't see my podcast. They don't see all the other shit I'm saying. It's like, I know, you may not think I know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm a business.
Welcome to the Kevin Clancy Show. I've been in this game over a decade, and I knew I needed a place where I could run wild on my own solo podcast, where I tell personal stories, I deep dive into conspiracy theories, we rip through the current events of the day, and we do sit-down conversations with the most interesting people on the internet. Make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss an episode. What's up, you mutts? It's another episode of the Kevin Clancy Show, Spite Tour Phase 2, Episode 14. It's our monthly edition of Behind the Blog. Every month, about the second week of the month, we do a interview with a Barstool, an in-house Barstool personality, where you learn all about them, who they are, who they were as kids, their upbringing, where they're from, and how they ended up at Barstool. This week, this month, was a no-brainer to pick Brianna, because she is going to be, and already basically is on the path, to be the next Alex Cooper. And I'm not talking about her content, because they are very different. I'm talking about her star power and the success that she's about to see. Know the name. You probably already know the name. And if you don't know the name, you're about to know the name, because this chick is about to take off. And there's a reason why I sat down with her, because I have done a little bit. I've had I've been lucky enough to do a little bit of content with her in the form of Surviving Barstool. And she's popped on my show Friday Night Pints before. And like immediately I can tell when someone is going to be able to hang at Barstool and if they're going to be a contributor and a success. By now, I've been here since 2009. We're going on, 11, 12 years. And I've seen people come and go, and I can tell usually pretty much right off the bat from like our just conversation between us whether or not you've got the personality that fits. Not to say if you're talented or not, but just whether you're a fit here and you're going to make it in this internet world where you got to be like tough and creative and interesting and all that shit. And I knew immediately with Brianna, and I think I am where a lot of people are right now with Brianna. I put out a couple clips teasing this interview. And a lot of people were like, her, like the girl who parties on TikTok, the chick who's just like drunk and hungover in her videos. And I will admit, when I first found out she was hired, I was kind of like, is that it? Is that what this girl does? And within a couple minutes of just consuming any of her content, and then within, a few minutes of doing content with her, I knew there was so much more than that. And that's why I wanted to do this interview. For everybody who's saying like, who or why, why does this chick have a job at Barstool? You're about to fucking find out why. Because this interview, I was already on board. I already believed in her. And then after learning everything about her, this interview is for the haters and for the doubters, for the people who are just so inclined to be like, who's this chick? She's just a hot girl. Who, doesn't matter. It's like, no. This girl from day one, from when time she was like a little kid, was putting out content whether she knew it or not, and her upbringing and what she went through with her family and how her star is rising here, like so much more to this girl than, drunk TikToks or partying on TikTok, which is so funny too, because I got people, one dude said to me, he just put, quote, "We promise the content won't change," which I think is in reference to when we got acquired by Chernin or when Penn bought us. Using this as some sort of example of how the content has changed. It's like, brother, you want to go back to the old days of Barstool where we were at the blackout tour, where we went from college to college partying and drinking, and now Brianna is doing her own college tour? If anything, Bri is like a throwback to like the down and dirty, grimy Barstool days. So I know that that's always been a complaint of some Barstool fans, is the old school versus the new school, but Brianna ain't the girl to make that to make that argument. I mean, she is as like old school as it gets. She doesn't give a fuck, that girl. So, you know, the people who long for the old Barstool days are funny to me. I get it, because nostalgia is the most powerful force on earth. The they don't make them like they used to is something that carries on generation after generation. And it's always warped in a way. And it certainly is with Barstool, where it's like things have changed. But, you know, when people reference individual pieces of content at Barstool, oh, it's not like when they did the Combine, or oh, it's not like they did King Richard's Fair, or oh, it's not like when Big Cat went to the aquarium. That's like it. They mentioned like 3, 4, 5 videos max on repeat. That's what they long for. Because it took, like, we put out like 1 or 2 videos a year back then. Now you're getting so much more content from so much more of a diverse group, which I understand is like, you know, you want your OGs and you don't like change and you don't want new people. But I wouldn't do an interview with someone on Behind the Blog if they didn't have like the full cosign from me as a, you know, active, like, contributing, worthy member of Barstool. So, I mean, cannot recommend enough listening to this, because when you learn about what Bree did with, you know, the family situation she had to power through, and the type of girl she was growing up and what she was doing and how she's now parlaying that into this success year, she's a down-ass chick. She's one down-ass bitch. She's a ride-or-die chick that I think a lot of people who either wrote her off right away or casted their judgment right away or decided because she's just a girl. Whatever their reasoning was, this interview is to prove you wrong. So if you already knew Bree, this interview, you'll love getting to hear all the new details about it. A couple times throughout the sit-down, she says, like, I never talk about these things. So you get some new behind-the-scenes information. If you already liked Bree and knew her, you're going to love that. If you didn't know Bree, welcome to the show. And if you are a Bree hater, you watch this interview. And if you still don't like this girl, the problem's with you, brother. Because there's not much to dislike about Brianna LaPaglia, let me tell you that much. First, we got to get into a couple of things. It's brought to you by Bare Bottom. I'm rocking them right now. The Bare Bottom joggers. At this point in my life, let me tell you a little story. The other day, I picked up my daughter from school. And it was a surprise, because ordinarily it was a weekday when her nanny would pick her up. And so I said, I'm free, I'll go do it. So the door opens, and I'm there. And Shay walks out, her busted little arm. She kind of looks around. She scans. And I'm like, yo, like, I'm right in front of her. And she kind of went past me. And then she sees me, comes running over. And she says to me, I didn't even recognize you, Daddy, because you're wearing jeans. That's tough. When a 5.5-year-old is basically telling you that, you know, constantly wearing the sweatpants in public is starting to become a bit of an issue, that was a wake-up call. Not even like I showed up in a suit. Like, if I showed up in a suit and tie and she was like, oh my God, Daddy, I've never seen you dressed up. Like, probably, she probably hasn't. I don't wear one to work. I don't think I've ever been in a suit in front of my daughter. But just jeans? Shay was that fucking stunned that she looked right through me, looked right past me as if I was a different human because I had some goddamn denim on. Because your boy's just been wearing Moon Man lounge pants and fucking Barstool Indoors pants for the last, you know, 2 years because of the pandemic. Wink, wink, because of the pandemic. Yeah, okay. But I was rocking these right here. These bare bottom denim joggers. These are the only pants that are getting me, these are the only pants that are making me, helping me survive as a still functioning member of society. Bare bottom is the only reason I'm still, you know when people say like they retire from public life? Bare bottom is the only reason I'm still in public life. Because I've got these light blue denim ones, I've got a pair of black denim ones, I've got a black pair of khaki type of material, like a chino material, as well as the olives, and that's all I rock. Light blue, black, and olive green in this jogger form, which is like presentable jeans, but also I'm pretty fucking comfortable right now. So it's the only pair of pants I'm wearing outside of like sweats, and it's the only shirt that I wear now. They got the long sleeve tees, they've got the short sleeve tees that are made of this material that I'll flat out tell you, I've been asking our merch team, we got to make our own version of this that has like some sort of soft material. They can't even match it. They can't figure it out. I don't know where these things are manufactured, but we can't figure out how Bare Bottom does it. So go to barebottomclothing.com/Clancy right now. You can get a $5 discount on your order. Get the joggers, get the pants. It's a classic clean look, and then maybe your daughter will fucking recognize you again. Maybe I'll start wearing these enough that she'll know that her father is not a complete and total bum. Shout out to Shay. Barebottomclothing.com/Clancy. All right, so we'll get to Bree in a minute, but first, I got three bones to pick. Three problems. Number one, I got to talk to the girls. I got to talk to the girls out there who, there's been a few trends that girls have been utilizing or perpetuating in recent months. And I've talked about them before. One of them is the use of gaslight. They love to say gaslight. They use it no matter what. They say every boy, every guy is gaslighting them when guys are just trying to explain like their side of the story or how it affected them or how they view it or why they're being crazy. It's like, yeah, sometimes guys throw around crazy too much. Girls are definitely throwing around gaslight too much, because sometimes you're not being gaslit. Sometimes you're just being crazy. Number two is the term narcissist. Everything a guy has ever said that even slightly references himself, you're a narcissist. You're a raging narcissist. It's like we're in a relationship. There's only two people here. A lot of the times we're talking about how your behavior and actions and whatever make me feel. So if I'm talking about that, like, yeah, we're going to be talking about our own opinions and feelings in a two-person relationship. That doesn't make you fucking narcissistic. What are we talking about? That's all old hat, though. The third thing, girls have now somehow claimed I'm sorry as something female when it's more just something for all awkward people. Girls have now, I've seen it from podcasters to people who are making content, to regular people in normal life, talking about how they girls apologize too much. And, you know, they're conditioned to say, I'm sorry. And it's a workplace thing where business men have always kind of looked down on women. So they're programmed to say, I'm sorry, and they shouldn't be apologizing. And I'm all good with that. That is true. And that shouldn't happen. You should never apologize for anything that you have not done wrong or you don't feel the need to apologize for. But don't act like awkward apologies are just a female thing. I've been out here awkwardly apologizing as a guy my whole fucking life. I've been out here having awkward interactions my whole fucking life as a dude. It doesn't have to, you know, we don't have to worry. It doesn't have anything to do with the pay gap. It doesn't have anything to do with the matriarch or the patriarch. It doesn't have anything to do with what, you know, our caveman and woman ancestors have biologically in our DNA. Anybody, when they're faced with an awkward situation, you just say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. You bump into someone, oh, I'm sorry. You get something wrong or hey, shit, sorry. You've inconvenienced someone in a way, sorry. We all just fucking say sorry, right? You know, it's only the ultra confident people, whether they're men or women, who will just bowl somebody over and not even throw out an awkward I'm sorry. For the same reason that you throw a ha-ha at the end of your text. When it's like, I'm being dead-ass serious about this, but I don't want to get in a fight or act like I'm being like some, you know, high horse asshole. So I'll just throw a ha-ha. Or I'll give you an LOL. You know, you're fighting with your significant other, and it's just like, well, then why would you do that, LOL? Like, what? You're not laughing out loud when you said, why would you do that? That makes no fucking sense. Throwing out the superfluous crying smiley face or the LOL or the ha-ha to try to soften whatever it is you're saying, that is the text version of the real life, I'm sorry. Because you can't just laugh like a maniacal asshole. You can't say LOL. You can't become the laughing crying meme. So you just say to people, ah, sorry. That doesn't just belong to you, girls, okay? I get it. Maybe you're apologizing more. Maybe it's harder for you. But I just want to know that. I just want people to know that there's awkward men out there who are doing the same goddamn thing. You don't get to claim I'm sorry. We're all fucking weirdos. We're all social misfits. We all have very little self-esteem. And we're all apologizing when we shouldn't. And that can be what we all band together, guys and girls. It's going to unite us all into one awkward gender where we don't know how to behave during complex social situations. Can't take I'm sorry from me. My second bone to pick is with this fucking guy who I almost had a full-blown road rage incident on the West Side Highway the other day. So this bone to pick goes out to this fucking guy. I will never forget his face. I'm on the West Side Highway. I'm driving into Manhattan. This dude's in a van, a white, like, rapist van. And he stops short. So I stop short. We don't hit. There's no collision. There's no accident. It was close. But he stops short. Then I stop short. And then we're stuck for, like, we stay there for a second. And I'm like, oh, wait, what the fuck happened? I'm looking around. I'm like, yeah, there's no traffic, really. All of a sudden, I see the door fly open. And I was like, oh, is this guy going to, like, puke right now? Because the door opened, but nothing happened. So there's a solid, like, couple seconds. And I thought he was going to, like, lean over and puke. And I'm like, what is happening here? And this dude gets out and turns and looks at me. And he just gives me this, like, ice grill. Just give me the stank eye. Just fucking, like, grinding his teeth. Over nothing. There was nothing to... It wasn't like he got out to check the damage. There was no reason for it other than we both just stopped short. I don't know why he stopped short. I just stopped because he stopped. And he gets in. He's, like, just staring at me. And I was like, is this about to go down? And it also took like a solid couple seconds. So I'm like, this guy definitely leaned into the glove box and grabbed his gun before he did this. And I'm not about to get out of the car. But I'm also like, what the fuck is going on here? So I kind of look at him and I just give him a shrug. I'm like, get back in your fucking car. What are you doing? Now you're just causing traffic for everybody trying to get into work. So this dude gets back in his car. And then we do the only thing that's logical. We have ourselves an imaginary race. And it's pretty rare that you find someone else on the road who's willing to engage in an imaginary, unsanctioned street race with you. I race someone every day of my life. Every day I'm driving in, I'll pick a car that's like a little bit ahead of me. And I'll be like, that white BMW, I'm going to beat that guy to the finish line. What's the finish line? My exit where I get off. And then I'm weaving in and out. I'm, like, trying to take different ways, trying to run through yellow lights, get around people, passing people, cutting them off, trying to get up, like, riding on his bumper to get around him. All of a sudden, it's Ford versus Ferrari, and this race is just happening up in my head. This guy has no clue what's going on, but little does he know, he's, like, my biggest adversary for the day. And then if, like, we get to that same exit, and I blow past him, in my head, I'm like, fucking pouring milk out, waving the checkered flag. I got babes in Monaco hanging on my arms. I'm like, I'm Lewis Hamilton right now. I'm sitting in a Hyundai Tucson, by the way, with a banged up side panel, fucking no registration, just, you know, a shitty engine. The check engine light's back on, by the way, anybody who's followed my story. But this guy, because we had a full-blown, like, road rage stare down, now it's on, and he's racing me. And so we're, like, absolutely reckless out of our minds, but we're cutting across lanes. We're riding each other close. He's cutting me off. I'm cutting him off. And for nothing, for no fucking reason, this guy picked a fight with his stare down, but I think he just wanted to do an imaginary, unsanctioned road race like all guys do. That's something I don't know if chicks do. I feel like girls are not typically going to be the ones who are just picking out a guy, being like, oh, that guy, you see that guy? He kind of cut me off. He kind of revved his engine a little bit. Oh, he tried to go faster than me. Like, anybody on the road if I'm in the left lane and anybody comes up on me going faster, rather than just, like, move over, let them pass me, I'm like, you're not going fucking faster than me. Pedal to the metal. All of a sudden, I'm going, like, 90, all because someone behind me wanted to go 90. Because I have some sort of weird... In my mind, I'm on you know, NASCAR, it's Daytona 500. This is my fucking racetrack. Everywhere I go, dropping kids off at school, maybe not today. Everywhere I go, I'm driving around town, I'm on the highway, I'm on back streets, doesn't matter. We're fucking racing and it's my road. But this guy, to have him engage back was all out warfare. I mean, obviously I won. Obviously I won. This fucking guy. You know what was perfect? See, I race pretty smart. I'm a fucking smart racer, man. When I'm having these imaginary races, I play it cool. And it's almost like a tortoise and the hare thing. Like, I'll lay back in the cut a little bit knowing that I'm going to hit this lane and I'm, boom, right lane to freedom, you know? So he was the asshole. He was the one trying to pick a fight. He's, like, flying all over, brake checking me, cutting other people off, being an asshole to everyone else. Next thing you know, he boxes himself in and I hit the other side, boom, flying, see you fucking later. I get off at 30th Street. I win the race. Just a bone to pick with that guy. I almost got to thank him, though, because there's nothing quite like having those races. Racing people, in this case, he knew about it, but racing people who don't know they're racing you is one of the funnest. It's one of the, like, the small little slices of joy I still have in life. Little bits of adrenaline and excitement where it's just like, I'm going to pretend to race this guy so that I can get my fucking rocks off for the day. One of the true joys in life that I hope never ends. I will imaginarily race you and your family any fucking time we're on the road, whether you know about it or not. My third bone to pick, I hate to say it, it's with The Rock. No, it's not with The Rock. I'll never have a bone to pick with The Rock. It's with the fans of The Rock. The Rock has put out a new song, his first song, really, a rap song, called Face Off, produced by Tech N9ne, that's a real hip-hop producer, a real name in the rap game, and The Rock has put out a song. And it's number one on iTunes, it's number six, it was the number one rap song in the world, it was like the number six overall song in the world, it was the number one YouTube video on the entire platform, and of course it is, because he's The Rock, and he's the most successful guy in the world, and everything he does will always go to the top of the charts. And The Rock is now posting on his Instagram, people watching the rap video for the first time and reacting. This song stinks. It's a bad song. And it's great. I'm almost surprised how bad it is, because The Rock, like when The Rock was singing on Moana, when The Rock is Maui, he can kind of spit. He kind of was like spitting bars and singing, and it like sounded okay. And now he did a rap song, and he tried to become a rapper, and it just turned into this whole fucking thing where he was like slam poetry. This song was The Rock playing a rapper in a movie rather than being a rapper. Like, it turned into this like slam poetry thing where he was like, it's about rock, it's about determination, it's about intimidation, face off. It's like a jittery spoken word rather than rapping. Like, and then, you know, he drops the, what's my motherfucking name? And it's supposed to be this big thing, The Rock singing motherfucker. And it felt like a rap that you would see on, like, it felt like a rap on like ABC NBA Finals, like, promotional packages. Like, leading into Game 7, there's a rapper in, like, this, you know, dark room, and he's like, it's about grit, it's about determination, it's about intimidation, it's like, oh my God, what is that? It was so not The Rock. And it just turns into this, like, overly sensationalized cartoon character. It's like trying to bop around and doing the face-off thing and trying to, like, spit double time. I don't know. It's fine. It's The Rock, and he's being a tough guy. And I get it. But the people who were, like, making Instagram reaction videos being like, yo, the motherfucking rap, Rock can rap, The Rock can spit, The Rock has bars, like, you know, felt like Eminem, like, wrote, you know, like, 16 bars of words that rhyme with, like, ination at the end. And he just, like, spit all of them as fast as he could. I don't know. You know, The Rock, love you, man. You said that my podcast was destined for greatness. I'll never forget that. We're basically like brothers. Me, you, Rocky Dale Davis Jr., we're like a trio, man. Keep putting out the music. Keep putting out, yeah. You know what, Rock, you don't need advice from me. But the people reacting to that, acted like we just got like a hip-hop classic. You know, come on, let's pump the brakes a little bit, no? So yeah, The Rock, I technically, Technically, you know, you're off the hook, Rock. You don't have to worry. I don't have a bone to pick with you. I just got a bone to pick with some of your fans. All right, let's do it now. Behind the Blog with Brianna LaPaglia. Well, speaking of fans, welcome to any of Brianna's fucking army of chicks who are hopefully here to listen, whether you're listening on the podcast or you're watching on the YouTube. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this sit down. I love having these conversations with people here at Barstool because it opens up a whole other side of them. And I can tell that Brianna knows that some people think she's just like the party chick from TikTok. And oh, that's just the girl who's like getting drunk in Miami or the girl that I saw hungover on Reels the other day. And I know, and she knows, and anybody who's been around her knows that there's so much more to it and so much more ahead. And so this was the first opportunity for her to really like put all of that and put all of herself out there. So I hope any of the Brie fans enjoy learning every last little bit about where she came from and who she is. I hope the Brie haters realize how fucking wrong and inaccurate they were about their assumptions about this girl. And I thank Brianna for coming to sit down and talk about it, because a lot of that shit probably isn't easy. And it's a lot of stuff she said she has never spoken about before. And so I appreciate her doing it here on the Kevin Clancy Show. So let's get into it. Behind the Blog featuring Brie. It's brought to you by Thursday Boots. Now, Brie is going to have a long-lasting career because she is tough, she is durable, and she is high quality, just like Thursday Boots. Got my new boots here. High quality, comes in the nice packaging here. Oh my God, that leather smell. That new leather smell on a pair of just like classic boots. Dark brown, quality leather, quality laces with the hooks here. Military style, kind of a high ankle. That quality Thursday boot rubber sole material. I mean, these are just like strong boots that you can rock kind of, you know, whether you are just want to go out to like brunch and look stylish with a dark boot for fall, or if you need to actually do, you know, boot type shit, Thursday Boots has high quality boots at an affordable price for you in every which way. We've designed our own boots in the past with them. We've done leather boots. We've done suede boots. High top, mid top, olive color, brown color, black color, every style of boots you can imagine, they've got you covered. They're one of the companies that has been advertising with us since their inception, and we've watched them completely explode. We've watched them grow on social. We've watched them grow in business, and we're happy to be a partner with them for a long time now. So head over to ThursdayBoots.com, get yourself a pair of high-quality boots for the fall and the winter, whether you are, you know, going to be traipsing through the snow or you just want to look sharp and stylish. They got you covered with high-quality boots at affordable prices that are always in style. Go to ThursdayBoots.com for a timeless classic, just like I'm predicting for my girl Brie here. It's Behind the Blog with Brianna LaPaglia. Let's get into it. Let's do it.
Let's go.
Brianna LaPaglia on Behind the Blog.
Yes.
LaPaglia, Chicken Fry, what do we do here? We go by Brie, Brianna, you got a million different names kind of now.
Well, I've been going by Brie because everyone called me Brianna, and that makes me go absolutely like ape shit. I hate that.
No,
so
Brianna.
It's just Brie. Brie Chicken Fry, I guess.
Chicken Fry was, you just kind of threw that out there?
Yeah, I fucking hate it.
I can relate because I think KSC Radio is the worst name the podcast has ever had in the history of the world.
Yeah, but it's so good.
No, it's really not, though. I mean, I just started it, though, so long ago, and I was just kind of like, that was back when we were throwing shit against the wall, and I was like, I don't know, like, I listened to radio called WFAN, now I'm KFC, like, just letters, radio, whatever, and then it stuck, and people were like, is it a podcast or a radio? Is it about chicken? Is it the... So we equally
similar.
Have dumb chicken names.
Chicken Fry.
Where did Chicken Fry come from?
Stupid. I was, when I first started my TikTok, I was in college. I was drunk and I was eating chicken fries from Burger King. And I had a viral vine like years and years ago where I said that my leg looked like a chicken fry.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is perfect. I'll just do Brianna Chicken Fry. Right. Didn't think that it was going to like stick and I was going to be Chicken Fry. And now like people see me, they call me like Chicken McNugget. They just call me
every
Chicken.
Variation.
They call me Chicky. I'm like, this is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It's so brutal.
I mean, it's, in a way, I think it makes sense that, like, it shows that you weren't, like, trying to force it.
Mm-hmm.
That it is kind of like a genuine story of, like, I'm just a fucking chick making funny TikToks and all of a sudden it blew up. Like, it would almost be weird if you were like, what's my TikTok? Because one day I'm going to be big. And
I know.
You know what I mean? Then you probably wouldn't be where you are today if you were that type of person.
Yeah,
you know?
It's more organic. I had no idea what was ahead for me at all.
Yeah, we've talked before about changing the name and like, we don't have a good thing to change it to, but also there's enough like brand equity with that. Like people know the name.
Yeah,
so,
you can't.
Like you change Chicken Fry now, there might be people who are like, wait, what?
Who
are
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like Mike Studd. He just goes by Mike now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know about that.
I get why you try to do it, but like, it's too late.
It's too late, you know? Yeah. Like, you're too far in. You can't just change it all.
And
up.
Also, it's like, you might, maybe you don't like it, but like, your fans either like it or don't care one way or the other.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
No, they eat it up. And it's easy, Chicken Fry.
Yeah.
My last name, no one can say it, so.
Yeah, that helps too. And like you said, Chicken McNuggets, Chicky, like it actually lends itself
whatever.
To.
Whatever, it's funny too.
But yeah, I did read that little bit about, I'm remembering that you said you just made it up on a whim in the New York Post article.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is perfect timing to do this because, I mean, that was like, that's your first big
first
expose,
anything.
Right?
Yeah, first big anything. I've never. Like, because during COVID, I got offered to do, like, a lot of press and whatever, but I like, didn't realize how big I was becoming, and I didn't know that that was important to do. Also, like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, I don't have anyone helping me, so I was just like, no, I don't need to do that. I'm just doing this. And then I told my mom about the New York Post, and she's like, you have to do that. I'm like, is that a big deal? And I guess it was a big deal. So.
Yeah, well, the way they did it, too, like, the photo shoot, and you're wearing, like, the fancy clothes, and it's like, bam. That was pretty cool. I mean, the Post is, you know, the Post. But that was, I mean, that was a very cool moment, I thought. And I again, to go back to, like, me coming up with the name, like, I can tell that you don't really, it's not, like, fully registering yet what's going on.
No, but I really don't think it ever will. You know what's weird that everyone keeps saying to me, and it's, like, blowing my mind? Like, when I meet all my fans, when I do the college tour, when I even came back to the office and I just talked to people, they're like, why are you still so nice? Like, how are you still so nice? I'm like, what do you mean? Am I supposed to, like, switch and, like, turn into this mega bitch? It's
it
crazy
kinda
to me.
It kind of sucks that that's what's expected.
I know.
But it kind of is. It's like, I don't know if it's a girl thing or if just other people in the past have done it where people just expect, like, oh, that girl's, like, peace. She's going to, like, leave us in the dust, you know?
I can never imagine doing that, though.
Don't.
I wouldn't.
There's just
I
no
couldn't.
Reason to.
No.
I've always thought that about people who blow up. It's like, okay, you've made it, fine. You want to be a bitch, you want to be an asshole, like, that's your choice. But wouldn't you want to just be, like, super successful and be known as a nice person?
Isn't that, like, the best of both worlds? And then you're, like, fucking awesome. No one's going to talk shit about you. There's nothing bad to say.
Right.
That's what I want. If I'm really big one day, I just want to be a nice person.
Now, I have learned, too, though, that there are times where, like, because of business, because of the industry, there's a lot of cutthroat shit, there's a lot of snakes that sometimes you need to behave in a way that some people might perceive as being a bitch, but you're like, if you knew the ins and outs, this is actually me just, like, protecting myself or protecting my business or whatever. So I can understand where certain things like that happen. But there's also just basic thing, like, ways to be nice where it's just like, oh, and she's a sweetheart, and she's really down to earth. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Why would you not want to do
that?
It's
also harder for girls, too, because, you know, you're perceived as a bitch when a guy does it. You're the man, you're the boss. And then if a girl does it, it's like, oh, she's a bitch. I don't want to work with her.
1,000%.
I hate that double standard.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge, and also the comparing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've said to you a million times before that I was like, I try to word it in the right way because I was like, I think you're the next Alex Cooper in terms of success.
Yeah.
Not in terms of, like, you're going to be her, in terms of where you're headed, because it's just only natural. I hate doing it, but it's like, because there are still fewer girls in the space, it just makes sense to compare the two.
You've always been a big supporter.
I knew there was two moments where I knew you were, I don't know if I knew it was going to be this fast or how big it could really get, but I knew you were going to be able to hang. You did Friday Night Pints, and it was actually how much you didn't, like, you weren't nervous, and you just kind of, like, played back a little bit, like, jumped in when you needed to, and, like, you did contribute, but you weren't overly, you know, into it. And it was just like, oh, you know, you can read the room and, like, understand the social situation.
Yeah.
And then surviving Barstool was when
was
I
crazy.
Realized it was like, you
I
know,
forgot about that. Doesn't that feel like years ago?
So long ago.
That wasn't that long ago.
I know.
It's
was
crazy.
It this year?
It was. Was it? It was this year.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's really crazy.
I don't know if that's a COVID time travel thing or Barstool time travel or a combined, but that feels like ages ago.
It really does.
But that was when I knew, like, that was one of the crazier, like, content demands that we've ever made of people.
Yeah.
And obviously making it so far and being able to, like, that showed, like, your competitive side and your entertaining side and all that shit. Because at that point, I will admit, I was kind of like, all right, what the fuck's up? Like, she does TikToks. Like, what else? Yeah. You know, is there more to it? And I remember your intro for Survivor said something like, I want to show that I'm not just, like, some dumb drunk bitch or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's exactly what she went out and did. Like, you proved it, like, entirely.
Yeah.
Was there a moment for you that you, like, or maybe you haven't had this yet, but have you had a moment where you're like, I'm doing this, or I've blown up, or I'm on the way, or...
Well, this college tour, so obviously I kind of blew up during COVID where I'm not interacting with my fans. Like, I see a number on a screen that I have, but I don't really get that feedback where I get to see the impact I'm making or, like, the people that follow me. So my first college tour stop, Penn State, when we had a 6-hour line around the block to see me.
6 hours?
We had to cut it off after 4 hours.
Bro.
I had to take a step back. I started crying. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Why are these people? I went into that saying, okay, yeah, we can have lunch, like, we can chill, I'll help sell the merch, like, it's gonna be a chill day. People were lined up, like, 3 hours before it even started to see me,
just like a meet and greet,
like, sit at the table, hi, take a picture. And that was when I was like, holy shit, okay, this is, like, real, and I gotta do this, like, I have to do it.
Dude, who or what would you wait on a 6-hour line for?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, Why? What is going on? It's so crazy to me.
I know. And I mean, I think everybody at Barstool who at least is a little bit grounded has a moment like that. Whatever your scale of success is. Like, I wake up every day sometimes being like, I don't get why anybody follows or anybody listens. And I think a little bit of that is, like, they call it imposter syndrome or just weird mental health shit. But also sometimes I'm just like, I don't necessarily get it.
I don't get it.
I don't think I'm talented or overly this or that, but I'm happy people do it. But a six, I mean, I've also never encountered anything like that. I've had attention, but I've never had a 6-hour line.
I know. I was like, what the fuck? But also I think having that in the back of your head, like, why me? Like, I don't get it. Also makes you more relatable, and that's, like, why we're good at what we do.
So that, to me, is the key that also scares me. It's like, if your success is because you're normal and relatable and down to earth, but in your case, you're now seeing, like, not normal success, not very relatable success.
Yeah.
Like, you're not just like every girl.
I know.
At heart, you are, maybe in your head, you are, but... Like, so how do you maintain that? You know what I mean? Like, for the most part, I've been able to just stay in this, like, in this one realm. You're, like, fucking shooting out of it now.
Yeah, and that also scares the shit out of me, like, all this pressure. It's like, okay, everyone thinks I'm doing so good and I'm going up. Like, what do I have to do next? Do I have to do crazier shit? Like, do I have to act like a different person? Do I have to switch it up? I'm, like, really scared for the future now, where it's like, I liked being stagnant because I'm like, oh, I'm comfortable. It's working. I'm doing it. And now, fuck, all these eyes on me. Like, what next? What do I have to do? But I also just, I've always just known I'm going to do it and I'm going to be good at it. And I don't know, it's kind of working.
So that always been, like, you as a person, go back. Like, has that always been a trait of yours where you're, like, confident in yourself? You know you're going to.
Yeah.
Whatever the challenge is, like, you're nervous, but you know you're going to do it.
Yeah. Very quietly confident, though.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like you said on Friday Night Pints, like, I knew I was fine. Like,
yeah.
I didn't need to step in. I knew, like, I didn't have to, like, make a name for myself or, like, try to talk over people. Like, people are going to know me, and it's going to come when it comes.
That's
like,
exactly it.
That's always been me. I've known quietly, I'm good. I got this. But I don't, but then it's, like, kind of scary to say that out loud now because I don't.
I know.
Yeah,
like, I know. It's like, not so quiet if you're saying it, but. But, like, so as a kid, what, like, in sports or school or social?
My dad's fourth daughter. And
oh, wow.
So
I didn't realize that.
He raised me, like, a complete, like, I should be a lesbian right now. Like, I was playing, I was playing football, I was playing hockey, every single sport I played. And, I come from an athletic family, super competitive. Yeah. So, like, sports were my thing. And when I got to college, and I played sports for a little bit, and I stopped, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I need something to, like, I don't know, motivate me.
Yeah.
Like, school, that wasn't clearly what I was supposed to be doing. So I was like, all right, let me do this social media shit. It's kind of like a competition in a way.
Yeah, where
it's like,
I mean, you can, there's a scoreboard. How many followers you get, how many retweets or whatever in TikTok.
But mine was kind of slow, like, gradual. But my engagement is so crazy. Like, I have 1.3 million on TikTok, right?
This bitch said only.
Okay, listen. Yeah. There's so many people with like 20 million followers on TikTok, right? And then they have like 300,000 on Instagram and they get 20,000 likes. Like mine, yes. I have 1.3, almost 300,000, and I get like the engagement is crazy.
Way higher.
People are really there to see me. So it
Which is all that really matters.
Yeah, you know exactly. What
I mean? Like, obviously, you want to have the biggest audience possible. Mm-hmm. But if you have a small audience, but they all buy a shirt, mm-hmm. they all buy a ticket, that's almost more valuable than, you know. I always look at Lena Dunham, who has like 5 million followers, mm-hmm. and she'll get like 2 retweets and mm-hmm. a like. It's like physically impossible.
Isn't it crazy?
It's like, what? Did all these people die? Like, where are these followers?
Does no one actually like you? Do you buy these people? It's crazy.
Probably, pretty much. So when you have that real audience, that's like, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. And you've done it through like being organic, you know. Yeah. It's like, and maybe you don't get 20 million because some of the shit you do might turn some people off, but mm-hmm. the people who do fuck with it hard. Yeah. And that's so you're the youngest of four girls. Mm-hmm. All girls, no boys.
No boys. Well, I found out I had a brother when I was like 13.
Later in life. All right, we'll get into that. So and you were born where?
In Boston.
In the city, right?
Yeah,
and then
I grew
moved
up
to
the
burbs
city.
Quick.
I grew up in the city until I was 12.
No, okay. So that's like long enough that you...
Oh, yeah. I had a kind of weird childhood.
Yeah. So that, I think, is like also an important part of who you are and why you mm-hmm. are the way you are today. Mm-hmm. Like, city kids are different.
They really are.
Right? I mean, like, I've always said, like, people who grow up in Manhattan are fucking weird mm-hmm. because it's just, like, not a normal setting for a kid.
I know.
It's places for business and money
and
fucking drugs and sex and partying, not for, like, a kid who wants to climb a tree and ride a bike. You know what I mean?
It's bizarre. Whenever I'm driving, like, coming to work and I see kids, like, on the schoolyard and shit, I'm like, what the hell? How do mm-hmm. you grow up here? It's bizarre to me.
They all go to Central Park. They all have the same backyard at Central Park.
Yeah,
you know?
It's crazy.
But, I mean, you see, like, kids, like, smoking cigs and riding the subway. I'm like, you guys are scary.
Really scary. Cool.
But so, like, 12 years old is certainly old enough to, like, you've got friends and boys and sports and mm-hmm. all that shit in, like, a city setting is gonna, it's, you know, it's, I think it's much more, like, sink or swim, mm-hmm. you know, like a cutthroat little world for, like, a girl to grow up in.
Yeah.
And that was, like, was that, did you like that? Were you, like, do you look back on that, like, you enjoyed your time there, or?
Yeah, I mean.
Like, when you said you had a weird up, like, what
was that? I had a different childhood. Okay, so I have three sisters, but they're half-sisters from my dad's first marriage. Two of them are, like, super bad drug addicts, and they were in super horrible, abusive relationships. So I saw a lot of fucked up shit growing up.
Okay.
And also, my parents were working two jobs each, so I'm basically an only child at home all the time by myself. Like, they couldn't afford childcare, so I, after school, would walk home. I was two blocks away from my school, so I'd walk home, lock the door, be at home until 8 o'clock at night by myself. So I had a lot of time to just, you know, be by myself. It was scary. I kind of, like, raised myself in a way. Had great, loving parents, but, like, they were working. And then I have these fucked up siblings, right, who I see, like, this crazy shit. And then I have, like, my drug addict uncle sleeping in my basement that I see ODing when I'm, like, 8. So
Whoa.
I just, there's just a lot of crazy shit I saw growing up where I think I matured really fast. And, like, everyone that I meet now, they're like, oh, I thought you were, like, 28. Like, you just act like you're 28. I'm like, no, man, I'm really just
Girl
a kid
fast.
Still.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. I think that also just, like, made me into who I am because it was just a different upbringing. And then I moved to the suburbs. No one's like me. I'm like,
oh my
you
God.
You guys have
no idea.
You have no idea. Like, when I was in a city kid, me and my friends, after school, we would get our scooters. I don't know. How old was I? I was like 11. We'd ride our scooters and pick up cigarette butts that we found off the ground and just pretend to smoke. I'm like, that was our fun. And then
right.
we'd walk up to the park where, like, everyone's drinking beers. And it was just a bizarre little way to grow up and then get removed from. And then go
put
to
in,
the
like,
suburbs.
The cushiest spot, yeah.
And then I'm in, like, this beautiful neighborhood with all these kids playing manhunt
uh-huh.
and, like, it was just so different. Like, half the shit I had already seen, they didn't get until we were in high school.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what, like, you're able to see that as, like, an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, mm-hmm. but clearly didn't fall into any of that.
Yeah, no.
Is that your parents got you out in time, or do you mm-hmm. think the way you, like, you protected yourself from that or stayed away from it?
I think it was just one of those things where it's, like, you see what you don't want to be, so you know you'll never be like that. Also, mm-hmm. my mom, like, my mom got a double knee replacement. She will only take ibuprofen.
She's like
so against anything. And then, which is crazy because my brand is like partying and drinking. So a lot of people are like, well, you shouldn't be doing that. But partying isn't going anywhere. And my whole message is like, you can get drunk, smoke weed, have fun. Like, you don't need to do all this crazy shit. I talk about drugs all the time and how, I mean, I do shrooms. Is that that's not that crazy. But I feel like I'm like a good party influence to look up to because I'm not out here just like slanging coke and
doing
like all the crazy shit that a lot of people on social media.
You didn't invent this shit. Like you said,
exactly.
You're not the first, not the last.
Anywhere. Yeah.
And you might as well be. I also think there's like Bert Kreischer is a very famous comedian who like drinks a ton and is also like one of the most successful and smartest businessmen in the game.
Yes.
If you can, you know, the point is to be able to like balance it and do it. Like
when I
used to do the Mail Time podcast, I was all about being like miserable at work and like, you know, mailing it in and not get, but people would email me or call, you know, DM me, whatever, being like, dude, I got fired today because I didn't do my work. Like, fucking Mail Time. Like, no, that's not the point here.
Yeah.
The point is like to still get your shit done, but have a fun time and like work the system. And, and so this is like,
Same thing.
I don't want
mine
you to drink
like
yourself
you
to death, you morons.
Play hard. Yeah.
Yes.
If you work hard, then you can play hard, but there needs to be a balance. And then like this whole college dropout thing, people are like, oh, you just inspired me to drop out. It's like, no, I'm trying to inspire people to just like do what makes them happy.
Succeed.
Succeed. In my case, it was dropping out and finding my path, but that's not yours. Like, I'm just saying like, okay, if you want to change your major, do it. Or you want to go after this new career, do it. Break up with your boyfriend, do it. Not everyone dropped out of college.
No, right. I mean, you got very lucky in certain regards. You put yourself in the right spot.
Yeah.
And college wasn't the right path for you. A lot of people should be the you know,
yeah,
the path.
Exactly.
If you have another alternative, go do it. But, you know, I know that that's a tough spot where you do like, it's like the role model thing where it's like, I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to be like your life coach.
Yeah.
But you do also acknowledge that like certain people, especially you, like young girls are going to look up to you and you don't want to like misguide them. But at the same time, it's not your responsibility.
I know.
Like, that's not what I signed up for. I signed up to like make funny shit, make people laugh, entertain them, right? Like that was the goal from the jump.
And then it falls under like this umbrella where it's like that. And like, I'm very aware of like what people, like, I know the negative side of it where people are like, oh, that you're like a horrible influence. You're just like being drunk and like telling these girls to do this. But they also don't like see, like they see my TikTok. They don't see my podcast. They don't see all the other shit I'm saying. It's like, I know, you may not think I know what I'm doing, but I know what I'm doing. Like, I'm a business.
Absolutely. And I mean, you are a one-woman, like, industry right now.
Yeah, and you have to cater to the audience.
I guess it sucks where it's like, you can't expect everybody to sit down, listen to an hour of the podcast, then watch the TikToks, then watch the BFFs. But, you know, you aren't one video. You aren't, like, one thing.
Yeah.
But people will judge you on that. And, and that's where I think you got to just, like, kind of block it out.
I know.
You
that's where, I, like, because it's so new to me, where that frustrates me a lot. I'm trying not to, like, scream at everyone, like, this is what I'm doing, this is how I'm doing it, but I have to realize not everyone's going to understand.
No, and that's where you got to just, like, stay the course. If you're trying to please everybody and explain yourself at all times, like, you're going to go fucking
crumble.
Crazy. All right, so you're 8, you move to the burbs after a few years, and you're what? You're, like, the bad city bitch? Like, are girls, like, whoa, guys, like,
yeah, so
whoa?
We moved with, you should have saw the car my dad had. I was so embarrassed. We pull up with, like, this Lincoln Cadillac, like, from, it's, like, so fucking old. He had to drive me to school. I'm like, I don't want
Drive me around the corner, I'll just walk.
Yeah, it was so embarrassed.
And is this, like, a swanky town? Like, you're in a bougie town now?
Yeah. Well, not bougie, but, like, bougie neighborhood. We're in, like, the only nice neighborhood. But we moved there because my cousins live there, and they're, like, my only normal family. So it's my dad's sister. We're neighbors. We actually bought the house next to them. So I grew up having them as my sisters, which was awesome. So I move into town with them, and they're telling all their friends, like, all right, my cousin's coming. Like, we have to be nice to her. Like, I don't know, she's a little different. We gotta be cool. And I come in, and like, you can just tell, like, everyone was like, what? I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know. I was just so different than all the other kids. And I mediated my way into it, and I kind of just rounded everyone up. I'm like, no, this is the friend group. This is what we're doing.
Really?
And she made it work.
So that's, I mean, so even at that age is kind of where you're like a leader, or you're prone to like take things in your own hands.
My friends call me boss. It's funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. We're like the aces and I'm the boss. It's kind of bizarre now looking back at it.
I mean, that really says so much though. It's like,
I know.
Sometimes, like when I'll do these interviews, sometimes people are like, I never had any indication that I was going to be this, that, or the other thing. But then in some cases, it's like a lot of the writing was on the wall for in a lot of different ways that this was going to happen one way or the other. But it sounds like you never had, like, maybe you were confident in social settings and in yourself and all that, but you're not sitting there thinking like, all right, so 10 more years, I'll be, you know, a superstar.
No. I always thought I was going to be behind the scenes. So when I moved to the suburbs, I got my first laptop for Christmas that year. And I was like the first one with a laptop. And I was like, let's make movies. So I would direct movies on my laptop with all, I would hold auditions for everyone in my neighborhood and I would direct them.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I know. Crazy. And I still have them too. And we would direct them. Then I got a waterproof camera so we could get like underwater shots of my little pool in my backyard. And like
above ground?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Yeah. Then 2 years later, we got the
in-ground.
Leveled up. So I was doing that. We were making all these scary movies, and like I would write all the plots and the characters. But I liked being behind the scenes. Okay. And I don't know. Now I look back and I'm like, okay, like it was all there in front of me. Like,
yeah.
I guess I should have.
Dude, that is fucking like.
I know.
You're like 12 years old. You're holding auditions. Like, next.
It was bizarre.
Like making movies. I mean, I think. You know, I was doing shit like that, like with way worse technology and on a way like simpler level. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's also such a perfect story about like the timing of it all. Because if you're born like 10 years earlier, 20 years earlier, you can do, like I said, we would have like fucking big clunky camcorder or whatever. But you in your hands, in your laptop, you've got like a whole fucking movie studio.
iMovie changed my life.
Yeah, right? Uh-huh. I mean, for real. Mm-hmm. So you teach yourself how to do that.
I teach myself how to do that. Then it turned into like music videos. And then we started doing skits. And then Vine came along. That was like the first platform that I found. And
what age
loved
is that?
It. I think I was 13. So I was in high school. And you get made fun of if you post videos, right? So I was like, fuck it.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I got made fun of hard. But like
being a social media kid at that point was like, you're a nerd, you're a loser?
Yeah, because, well, not like that, but I was like being funny on it. And I feel like a lot, I don't know.
Like that, goofy?
Yeah, like telling jokes and shit. Like, I remember like I made one, like drop the soap type of joke on it. And I got shit for it for so fucking long because it's your freshman year of high school, all the girls are trying to be like pretty and popular and fit in, and here I am being a douchebag on Vine. People are like, "What the fuck? Like, you're a weirdo." Mm-hmm. But then I was just like, "No, fuck it." And then I started blowing up on Vine, and people were like, "Oh no, this is so cool."
Yeah.
Like,
now you come around.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
I hated that so much.
I think one of the biggest like misconceptions or most warped things is the way weird is viewed. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you view weird as a negative, you're fucking probably lame. You're probably boring.
Yeah.
You know, like, weird, different, creative, interesting, intriguing is where it's at.
I say that about everyone. Everyone always asks me how people at Barstool are like. I'm like, everyone's a weirdo.
Everyone's got their own weirdo lane.
And if you weren't a weirdo, like, you can't do what we're doing.
Right. And I also love that it started out with all guys, obviously, so it was always that we're frat boys. Mm-hmm. None of us were in frats.
No, I know.
That we're, like, party animals. Like, yeah, we got down, but nothing crazy. That we're all, like, banging chicks and wild party. It's like, we're all internet nerds.
It's like the complete
opposite. I'm on my blog today. I'm worried about my followers and my engagement, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, the furthest thing from any of that, and I'm sure it's the same kind of shit for girls, where
yeah.
I mean, yeah, you were like on your iMovie, you know, editing and
I was
not
always a weirdo.
Right. Yeah. But what's weird as a kid always ends up coming out like as an adult as like, that's actually pretty cool. That's a talent. Yeah. That's interesting.
You look back at it. Yeah, my parents always thought it was so cool, and I'm like, what, you don't get it? Like, it's so easy. But now I look back, I'm like, okay, that was actually really cool.
That absolutely is like a talent, and you know. Yeah, I can't do any of this shit, you know?
I know.
Like, not only because I wasn't coming up with it, but also my brain just doesn't work like that, you know?
Yeah.
So you've got, like, both sides of it. When did you think so when you start making your own Vine videos, that's when you're, like, the star, if you will.
Yeah,
and that's when you realize you can be on the other side of the camera?
Yeah, that's when I started liking it. But, like, at the same time, Vine was so new, so I didn't like see a feature in it, and then it gets deleted. So I'm like, oh, there goes
that. That was crazy.
Yeah, really fucking crazy.
I still don't fully grasp what happened there because
I know
that was like blowing up.
The
it was like
platform.
The spot. Yeah,
it was the spot. And then
there was money issues, right? Like people weren't getting paid enough. And they
something
band together.
Stupid.
Yeah,
something like that. So then Vine goes away, and I'm like, okay, YouTube.
How many followers did you have?
Oh God, I don't remember. Not a lot. Like maybe like 20,000.
Okay, so there's something.
Yeah. Like so I had like a few viral videos where I was like, "Oh, this is."
Do you remember like one of them?
Yeah, the chicken fry leg went viral.
Oh, that was fun. Right. Okay.
Like I used to make.
What was that? You were just like, look at my legs. They look like.
Yeah,
chicken I was fries. Like,
yeah, stupid shit. And then, I would do like skit comedy, like little stupid, because it's 6 seconds, so you have to tell a joke really fast. So I would just do that, and I was super ugly, like so it worked. Like I had braces and pimples, and it was just, it played well. It was like, oh, look at this freak.
I love. I always see some variation of a tweet go viral. That's basically a girl being like. I grew up ugly, so I'm, like, funny and have a personality. Mm-hmm. And then I got hot, so I'm, like, the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's perfect.
And it really is, like, you know, you grow up if you're, like, pretty and you're in the suburbs and everything's cushy and easy. Like, you know, you're probably not going to, you don't just go through anything. Yeah. You don't have anything to you, you know?
You're just so dense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then so you're, like, the ugly duckling, making videos, being nerdy. Mm-hmm. And then when do you think... Do things start to change anytime soon, or is this not until like later in life where you really are like this persona?
I would say so. I was always like that in high school. Like I was always just myself in high school. I did fall into the trap of like trying to be someone I wasn't, like hanging out with all the popular. I was a cheerleader, so like I was friends with those people, and I found myself. I remember it was like junior year. Where I was like, oh, I kind of like hate the person I am.
Really?
Yeah, because my best friend moved away and everyone was so mean towards her. And like, I realized I was mean towards her. And I was like, holy shit, like, I just don't like the person I'm becoming. And then all the seniors left and I'm a senior. And I'm like, okay, I can just focus on me, like, actually be like, I don't know, a decent fucking person.
Interesting. Because they're not there to like
pressure
you.
I'm like, okay, now we're the top dogs. You don't need to be something you're not. So I don't know. I used to have parties at my house. I was like the party house and I would invite everyone. Like I would invite the band kids. I would invite, it was like crazy. I was the first person to ever just invite everyone for senior skip day. We had it at my house. Invited the whole grade, like all the weirdos, all the losers. And we had the best time ever. Everyone's like, oh, you guys are actually super cool. I'm like, this is what I've been trying to tell you. Cause I had classes with all those kids.
Honestly, to me, this is like fascinating because
I know I never like, talk about any of this shit either.
That's the stuff that people should know.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing that makes you different. That's the thing that makes you not be a bitch about the fact that now you're having some success. Like,
yeah.
You always kind of were trying to be inclusive and not being stuck up about it.
I was definitely shitty for like a couple years in high school, but not like shitty.
But to be able to like recognize that.
Yeah.
Like most people either don't or if they do, they're kind of like, but whatever, because I want to be, I want to have friends, I want to be popular, or too late, yeah. Mm-hmm. To be like, all right, I'm going to stop doing that and make the change at, what, like 17, 18 years old is like wild mature. That's like, you know.
It comes from my dad. He's like he's the biggest heart ever. And he's just always, when I was little, when I lived in Boston still, he would tell me two things when I went to school. He would say, learn something new and treat people how they treat you. So he was like, if someone fucks with you, you fuck with them.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I always had that mentality.
The message isn't like, be nice to everyone.
No,
it's
not
at
all.
Be nice to the people who are nice.
Yeah.
But like my mom always used to be like, if you get punched, you punch back.
Yeah,
She's like, don't throw the first punch, but you can fight back. Mm-hmm. And she was always like, don't worry about getting in trouble with like teachers or the principal. Like, worry about me. Like,
yeah.
If I'm okay with it, then like we're good.
Same. So here. Like, it's a good mentality to have.
Yeah, because then you don't become soft. You don't become a pushover.
You don't get walked all over.
But you're not like an asshole to people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you win any like senior superlatives that exist in your school?
Oh yeah, stupid best hair.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm.
Best hair, yeah.
I won. It's so embarrassing. I won, and it makes no sense when people know me now. When
yeah.
Through the block. I won biggest heart.
Biggest heart,
which was basically like fucking loser. But
the biggest simp.
It was strictly because I was just like nice to everybody.
Yeah.
Like I didn't fall into any of that.
Yeah, just nice to everyone that you come across.
Yeah, and I think it might be. I kind of had a similar upbringing in the sense of like. I lived in the city mm-hmm. for a little bit, and then because I moved into a town where like everybody grew up the whole way together,
right there, yeah.
And I was the outsider. Mm-hmm. I was always kind of like, I don't know, I'm not really impressed with you, and I don't care what your history is, and but you're cool and you're nice, and I don't know. I just felt like it was easier to like just be cool with everybody.
Yeah.
But that is the type of like. That blend, you have to make sure you keep that edge
yes.
a little bit, though.
Yes, yes.
Because if you take that mentality into this business, we're like, everybody's cool, everybody's my friend, mm-hmm. and we, like, somebody's going to stab you in the back. Someone's going to, you know.
Yeah.
So as long as you still have that, like, that eye out for who deserves it and who doesn't.
Oh, yeah. I can read people really well.
Yeah. That I also learned in Surviving Barstool.
Yeah. Because
I was in the cut just watching everybody, everything happen. And I could see who was, like, just not... just gonna get bowled over.
There was a lot of shit not shown in Surviving Barstool, but I was like, I knew everyone's next move, and no one would fucking listen to me.
I know.
I'm like, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about.
You know, it's so funny. Think about what would happen if you did Surviving Barstool right now.
Oh,
like if
yeah,
you did season two right now, how different would that be?
Be so.
I think you would be the absolute alpha of that whole fucking crew.
Oh, me too. Like, and I wouldn't be scared to do it.
No,
I was like a little intimidated.
Yeah,
by
Yeah, yeah.
That was my first Barstool thing, really. Ever.
I mean, you were like, I was watching the whole thing where I was like, I want to be like, she's got the answer over here. Like, you would say things like, I think the idol's fake, and I was like,
I said it so many times. I'm like,
fucking, she said
Tommy's
it.
Tommy's lying. Yeah. The idol's fake. He's gonna. This is all fake, and everyone's like, no.
And then you fucking voted for him.
Because
what?
Because he outsmarted all of them. All of them. I know.
You voted, like, very honorably there.
Yeah, I was like, all right. He did
what he... He did deserve it.
He fooled every single one of them. Didn't fool me, but he fooled all of them. And then Nick just is nice, so he made it to the end.
Yeah, man, that was... But I could see that. I was like... This girl is, like, got that, like...
I tried.
She saw The Matrix on the whole thing. I feel like that's kind of... how a lot of this success is coming about, I think. I mean, your merch is fucking nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's bizarre.
That's something you could put out. You almost should do a little, like, social experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Design a shirt that you fucking hate.
See what happens.
Like, stupid slogan, stupid logo, ugly color. And I swear to God, they'll rock it.
I know. It's crazy. But my merch, like, I put a lot of... I feel like a lot of people just, like, let sales or whatever, like, mock it up and do it. But, like, the merch, I'm like, I know what I need to make, what it needs to look like, what it needs to say to cater to the college girls. Like, I know what it needs to say for people to buy it. And, merch is big. It's like my baby.
Yeah.
I really love my merch.
I mean, that's where people don't realize, like, you can just become a business unto yourself.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sure, you can sell some sponsorships and podcast ads and stuff, but if you can just make and sling merch, you're fucking making money till the day you die.
Yeah.
You know, as long as that keeps up.
Yeah.
People used to, like, kind of, like, laugh about t-shirts. Like, granted, back in the day, we were selling just, like, goofy t-shirts, not, like, real clothes. But it was like, yo, t-shirts kept the lights on for a long time here.
It's bizarre.
And now, you know, I mean, you've got real clothes, you've got accessories, you've got a whole brand to yourself that's like, that was like, again, by design, or like that started out, like you put one on sale, you realize it works,
no.
You put two on sale, you realize, okay, I've got a thing here.
Before Barstool, I had a sweatshop in my
in
my college house. I made my first hungover sweatshirt on Etsy. This was before I even got hired. I bulk ordered I sold out. I had to say I sold out because I sold 600 and didn't have enough time to make it.
Holy shit.
I had to bulk order from Amazon a bunch of white sweatshirts. I had to get, like, these prints made and mailed to my house. I had to iron each one on, and I did it all by myself, pack them all by myself, mail them all by myself. So I knew that I wanted to do that. And then when I came to Barstool, they were like, oh, we could just make this for you. I'm like,
oh, my God.
It's like, what? You don't know what I went through, the stress. Like, and on top of that, it was, like, finals week. I was in school still. I had a job. I was babysitting. It was bizarre. So I started merch in my living room at my college house.
Do people know that?
I don't think so.
See, like, that is also where, like, you deserve every ounce of credit, every single follower, every bit of money, every ounce of fame. Because, like, there are going to be people who just, like, come to a place like Barstool or to a big conglomerate, and they are like, it's like, we can write the song for you.
Yes.
You just get in the booth and sing it. But it's like, no, I was writing, you're basically like a person who writes their own music.
Yeah,
you know? It's like, I was already doing this,
and
it's not just that you took me and made me into something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Barstool's amplified it and
pushed
it.
Yeah, you have the resources.
But you were going to be doing this anyway.
I would have found a way.
You're now just doing it on a larger scale.
Exactly.
But the fact that you're ironing your own fucking merch.
I cried for, like, it took, like, 5 days. I cried for every hour of it. It was awful. My roommates hated me. The whole living room was just boxes and boxes. It was crazy.
Now, are you doing that at that point for money or for, like, satisfaction?
I barely made any money off of it.
Like,
I barely made any money.
By the time you ship it out and all that, it's like you're making, like, $3 a shirt.
Yeah, it was
bizarre. You're doing it for, like, satisfaction.
I did it because then everyone's tagging me in my hoodies. Everyone's talking about it. They're posting videos in it. That to me was like, oh my God. That was my first, like, oh my gosh. People are buying my stuff and
tagging
in it.
And that was hungover.
That was just hungover. White hoodie, red wording.
It's so simple. Mm-hmm, you so know, simple. It's like you think about the designs people come up with. It's like, no. Just fucking slap some words on it.
And then merch, too. Like, I feel like merch, people want to, like, just put their name on it. And it's like, you need to make it, I don't know, make it mean something. No, not everyone's just going to wear a KFC or a chicken fries shirt. Like,
I hate people. There's not one
shirt.
You feel
full of yourself when you do that shit. I'm like, come on.
But then I also sometimes I think, it's funny, I think that about myself, but I would tell you it's crazy that there's no chicken fry shirt.
I know.
But I understand totally where you're coming from, being like, there's not one shirt that just says like KFC Radio.
No.
Again, because I hate the fucking name, but also because I'm like, no, I'd rather like put a fucking moon man on it or put this like this.
And thing
then
it
that
feels
looks
more of like
it.
Yours, and it's like, I created this, I did this, I didn't just slap my name and expect people to buy it because it says KFC or chicken fry.
Totally with it. But also, like if I was merch, or I was like your producer or something, I'd be like, I get it, but shut the fuck up. We're putting this on sale.
I know.
That mentality is such an interesting one because it's one almost every guest I talk to, I like to get into it because there's that imposter syndrome feeling, and there's that, for me, I was always so self-deprecating and so hyper aware of like, I don't want to be, I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be narcissistic. But now looking back, I wish I was a little more like assertive, a little more like, at least in terms of like just recognizing what's going on and reminding people. Because, you know, if I always joke to this day, I'm like, yeah, we just do this fucking like stupid podcast where we joke around about our dicks. And people are like, yeah, they just do some stupid podcast where they joke around about their dicks. And it's become something more than that.
Yeah.
And I wish I just like let, like, in a subtle way.
Let yourself have it.
Yeah, and let certain people know, too, though. Like, let the people who hate and doubt know every now and then, like, no, we sold this out, or we hit this level.
Yeah.
But I'll never be the one to, like, talk about myself.
I know.
So I just wish going back, like, if I was, I never did content at your age, so that's even crazier how much of a head start you have. But that was one of my regrets, is that I wish I was a little less self-deprecating and a little more.
Well, when I did the New York Post, they were kind of like, when they were interviewing me, they were falling into those questions where like, oh, like, so all you do is go to colleges. Why do you want to go to colleges and drink? And I was like, no, actually I do all this. I do so much more. So I feel what you're saying.
Good
and
for you.
I wasn't like that in the beginning. Yeah. I was just like, yeah, that's what I do.
Because you know people like that are going to try to just push a certain narrative and tell a story.
Yeah.
Hit pieces are just so fucking grimy.
So
they take one word and one clip.
Those people are villains. They're just fucking villains. It's so they're so scary.
And what's crazy to me is like, so you want to get your clicks, right? I get it. But like, if you were to really like sit down with me and like, let's do this right, you'll still get your fucking clicks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't have to be a shitbag about it. Like, do it right and I'll promote it and we can do it together.
And then everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm. But that's more of the mentality. Like, most people in high school are just, I'll hang out with the cool kids. I'll do the easy way. Your way of thinking is unfortunately not like the way most people do.
Yeah. I give people too much credit.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is, that's another thing you learn like quickly where it's like, that's, I think, you know, like you start out nice, and then unfortunately, maybe as time goes on, you're like,
it's your villain story.
It really does kind of become that way. I cannot imagine doing content and being as big as you are at your age either. Like, I've never had that level of success, but also at your age, I wasn't even thinking about any of this shit.
Yeah,
you got such a head start. You realize that? Like,
I know.
By the time you're like 30, you'll have like 10 years in the game of
that's
like.
That's true.
Like, more than that of just, like, I was making movies when I was 12.
Yeah.
But as far as, like,
actual experience.
In this fucking industry for a long time.
I know. That actually is really bizarre to look at. What? I was 20 when I first came to Barstool, I think. Like, when I first started my internship or came to visit. And I didn't realize how bizarre that was. I was like, Jesus, I'm 20.
That's young.
And now 22, doing all this shit. It is really scary because, like, at the end of the day, like, I am 22. I don't have all these life experiences or, like, all this knowledge. So I'm like, I could fuck up at any given time. And, like, what am I going to do about it? My parents don't get what I'm doing.
I was just going to say that. Your parents have no
have
clue,
no,
right?
Like,
what are your parents are probably, like, 35, right?
My mom's 60th birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, right, because you're the youngest, right?
Yeah,
so there's some experience there. But, like, you are on this track that's, like, all yours, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can look up to Rhea, you can see an Alex Cooper, there's other girls and guys in the industry, but, like, not exactly yours, not in the way you did it, and there's not many people you can turn to and be like, what next?
I know.
Or what do I do?
I know.
But I think what's good is when you fuck up, if you fuck up, that's the podcast for the day. That's the video.
I know.
Like, people roll with that and they like that. That's what works.
Also, what's good is, like, I put on this whole thing where I'm not perfect. I'm going to fuck up. Mm-hmm. I have fucked up.
Set that bar low,
girl. I cover everything. I'm like, I fucked up a lot when I was younger. So when that comes back to haunt me, I already told you guys that.
What do you mean, though? Like, real fuck ups or like little,
not
like
real
everything
fuck
that
ups.
Kids do?
But I was just like, I don't know, I was like a shitty little kid. Like, I would do what everyone else did to be cool, to try to fit in. Like, I don't know. I just, like, I wasn't a perfect kid, where I feel like a lot of people on social media put on this, like, in my realm, like TikTok, all these TikTokers, they try to be like these, I'm going to save the world, I'm going to change the world, I'm a peacemaker, I'm perfect. I say, I do not want to be that. I do not get that. You're setting yourself up for failure. You can't. It's just unrealistic. No one's realistic about it. And if you're realistic about it, then you're ahead.
Right.
You do better.
And if you go do it, like, fine. But you're, like, the one in a zillion who, like, saved the world.
Yeah, exactly.
I like, who do you relate to in the social media world?
This is always the hardest question for me. Which is weird for me. I don't really consume a lot of social media. I used to. When I was younger, YouTube was my big thing. I loved YouTube. I didn't really watch anything else. Cody Ko, I love his humor. I love his podcast. He's kind of been like my mentor without knowing he's my mentor type of thing. Like, I take a lot of notes from him and like what he does and how he does it. And
have you connected with him? I know he's been on...
He follows me, but I'm scared to, like, reach out to
really?
Him.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's, like, one of
That's
those.
That's crazy.
Like,
he's a nice dude.
I know. But he scares me a little bit. And also, like, you know when you really, like, love someone and look up to them, you're scared if you meet them that it will ruin it for
you?
You
mean your heroes.
So I'm like, I just think that would ruin it for me.
I get that, but Cody is, in my very brief experience with him, he's,
great.
Like, a normal ass dude.
I know. Yeah. I figure. So he's one. I don't have any, like, girls that I really ever looked up to. That's why, like, I get so confused and scared, because I don't know the path.
You're blazing the trail, like, you know what I mean?
So.
Not like there's other girls.
Yeah, there's
other
a
girls,
million other.
But, like, you're not a D'Amelio. You're not an Addison Rae. Like, you are, there's a very tangible difference because you're real.
Mm-hmm.
That feels very fabricated in a way. Not fabricated. It's not that they're fake, but it's just like, I dance or I'm happy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
This, it's like, you're like, this is how it really goes.
Yeah, they got famous for being, like, hot and pretty. And, like, I get all these followers from people actually, they like the way I talk and like how I talk, which that's really different. And I give a lot of people credit for that on TikTok, whether like the Charli D'Amelios and Addison or whatever, they have like hundreds of millions of followers. But if you can gain 1 million followers from just talking and being you, I give you way more credit than anything else.
Like we were saying earlier, it's like
100
million, but a lot of those are going to be like empty follows.
That's a crazy number. That
is ridiculous. I mean, that's like, you know, a massive country.
Yeah, it's
like,
insane.
That's an insane fucking number. But you do have, like, the looks to then go along with it. Like, it is kind of a nice benefit. Is that something that you, like, recognize and realize?
No, I hate that.
I know. I mean, I could never fully understand, like, get inside the mind of a girl when it comes to, like, looks and attractiveness or whatever. But it's also, like, for your success and your business and your life and all that, it's almost something you should understand. Like, it's like by denying it or by being like, oh, I don't know, like, but like you're an attractive girl, you're pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that can be, you know,
be
a tool
thing.
Or useful or whatever.
I know.
As long as it doesn't be like it's not the only thing about
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the TikTok that got me was you couldn't stand up straight without throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one. I went through a bunch when you first got hired,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, all right, I could get it, I understand. But then you're like, you're hunched over, and you're like.
Every time I see
nope. And I was like, that is, you know, fucking funny and relatable and the culotta too.
I started a little fucking craze with that shit.
That was what I was like, oh, I was like, this girl's gonna make her own brand, her own merch, her own drink, her own. Because if you can do that, like,
I know,
before
it's still
ever,
to this day.
I mean, that was before anything.
That was
before Barstool, was before, like...
Like, I had, like, 90,000 followers or something. And then every day I'm tagged in, like, 500 stories of people drinking these. I stopped promoting it because, like, Duncan, like, fuck you. But it didn't
help
me.
What the fuck, Duncan?
Like, fuck
How
you.
Is that not called, like, the Brianna Culotta or whatever?
Like, I don't know. Don't even get me started on that. So I stopped promoting it. But, like, still, every day I'm tagged in it. I go to Miami this weekend to do my college tour. They have culottas waiting for me in the fridge. They all got their own coladas. I was like, this is so crazy.
I mean, I'm sure Duncan's like, we can't be associated with this.
I know, I know.
It's like, stop being fucking pussies.
I know. At least
get down with the colada.
Like, clearly it's working.
Yes. They're also happy to just ride the fucking free promotion with
you. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I kind of
how much bigger could it be? No, but like, if you try to monetize everything, if everything is a sponsorship, if everything is... Then you lose the organic, you know?
I've never done, like, I don't think I've ever done an ad on my TikTok. Maybe, like, one or two.
You should probably work a couple in, though.
Yeah, but, like, I
know, it's such a fine line.
I know,
it's like,
I know.
You know.
One day.
How many followers do you have now? 1.3?
1.3, yeah.
1.3. And what do you have on the other platforms?
I have 260 on Instagram. Twitter I don't use, but I have, like, 65.
Yeah, Twitter, it's so funny. Like, everyone at Barstool in the beginning put our eggs in the Twitter basket.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one that means fucking nothing.
And
it's
you can't
the worst addiction.
Money.
It's the worst for you. Mm-hmm. There's no money. And we were like, Twitter.
I know Twitter it is. Yeah, no, I really just use Instagram and TikToks I'll use. But I'm focusing on YouTube because I'm realizing I need to like make actual like content that lasts mm-hmm. and like people can actually watch and get to know me like this.
Right.
Instead
right.
of just like 2 seconds.
Yeah, I mean that feels to me like the next step of like showing people the full package.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean like the possibilities are like endless with you. Do you get that? Like,
no.
Like, what's like your plan? If you like, what's the like you just said? So you want to make content like this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But is there anybody? Like, do you have an agent? Do you have a manager? Do you have? Mm. Yeah, none of that.
No,
that's something I kind of thought about too. I never did that myself.
Yeah,
and I do think in some ways it harmed me. But in some ways, when your brand is being a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
You stay normal.
I know.
But like,
it's like a fine line and you don't know when to cross
mm-hmm.
it. I don't know. My plan, I mean, down the road, I want to have like my own show, but I don't want to be in it. I want to write. But in this realm of the world, I want to do like a talk show type of thing with me and like big names next to me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of get away from the, I want to do my co-hosting podcast where I'm with other people, but I feel like I want to turn my podcast show like, into a show instead of a podcast. Everyone has a fucking podcast now.
I mean, I always tell people, like, if I was starting now, I wouldn't do a podcast.
Yeah, no.
I would do, like, short videos, like, something, certainly video content, short form.
People can't consume podcasts anymore either.
It's not, it's just, and there's too many.
It's
crazy, but it's too late, you know, unless you're fucking...
Like unless you already have this huge platform and then you go into it, but it's
and
just
and you, like, steal market share and people, like, will... Stop listening to one for yours. Everyone has their rotation already, you know? What do you think, though, about, like, I mean, how long can you keep up with this current iteration of Brianna Chicken Fry?
This is a lot on my body. I said before we started that I've been sick for, like, 5 months. This college tour is taking a lot on me, and it's because... I didn't know the extent of it, right? So I went into it thinking it wasn't going to be something crazy. And then I go and I meet all these people and I don't want to disappoint them. So I'm like, all right, you buy me a shot. I have to take it. You're doing all this. You want me to drink. You want me to put on my party animal. You want me to put on this show, which I can and I will, but I can't keep doing it every night. And I can't, like, there needs to be a line where I'm like, okay, I am a party girl, but I'm also this.
I'm a human.
I'm not a machine that to just pump alcohol in and out of me. And I think I'm starting to realize that. And we're having a meeting, actually, like, next week of how we can make this better for me and not just, like, when I go on these college tours, I'm a caged monkey. Mm-hmm. Like, they put me on these tables. And it's just people waiting for me and looking at me like, do this, do that. I'm taking video of you. So we just need to do it better. But we weren't prepared for how big it was. So
when you are on like a table like that and that's the scene, are you what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Is that like a
I feel bad.
My God, I hate like get me out of here.
No, I feel bad. And then I go in and I take a picture with every single person. I take a video with every single person. I talk to them. I talk to them about their problems and their mom. And it's like, okay, it does have to come to a point where I need to realize and recognize I can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I never want to do that.
This is what I was talking about with like earlier when there's going to come a day where you are like, I can't talk to you about your mom right now. I got to go. Like I'm here for fucking 4 hours. And then that one person is like, Brianna Chicken Fry was a bitch to me.
I know,
and
it's that's like, what I'm so scared for.
I know, and that's where it's like, and then you get a little bit hardened and you put up a little bit of a defense and it's hard to stay like truly pure and good and nice and well-intentioned because like for those people, that's their one night with you.
Yeah.
And they want it. And you're like, I did this 4 nights in a row, 5 nights in a row, 7 weeks in a row.
I know.
And it's a very hard balance. But like, I think even just trying to always please everybody will like shine through almost.
I think so too. I think so too. And like, I'll always want to, because I'm very like aware that these people give me everything that I'm doing. So like, I want to talk to you. I want to take a picture with you. But at the end of the day, like, I'm still a person and I can't do that for 7 hours straight every day. So, I mean,
self-awareness.
I think
man,
they will realize that too at a point.
And you're like a baby to be going through all this.
Yeah, you know it's really scary.
It's like, so, when people say, I don't know if you said it on camera or off, but you said people think you're 28.
Yeah.
Because, like, you do. You carry yourself in that way. But it's like,
I'm really not.
You know, you should be, like, blown off class and taking naps and shit. Instead,
I know.
You're like, I gotta go on tour, I gotta sell my merch, I gotta do my podcast.
Yeah.
In fact, you do a solo podcast.
I know.
Is, like, that was another thing that tipped me off. That I was like, not many people can do that.
Yeah.
Where you just, you know, press record and go, and it's good enough and captivating
really
enough. Mm-hmm. Like, that, most people physically can't do it. They talk for 2 minutes and they're like, I'm done.
I know.
So there's something about it where, like, you do have that maturity, but
I went from, I would say in the past 2 or 3 months, I went from like having so much free time and just like recording my podcast, whatever, kind of like having time to chill, to I got something to do every second now. And like, I'm like, do I need an assistant? Like, who am I becoming? This is crazy.
But that's what I mean is like, you probably do need an assistant, and you need a full-time producer, and you need,
it's just so fast
in order to be that, like, to fulfill your potential.
That's what I'm saying. Like, to be the best version of myself, I need to, like, start recognizing, okay, I'm not that girl I was 2 months ago. Still the same person, but different level, need people to help me.
And, like, you take care of the business because I want to be doing the creative shit.
Yeah, exactly.
And you take care of, you know, organizing the logistics of my photo shoot so I can just show up and be cool with the people.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize how much goes into, like,
the social media.
They have no idea. They're like, you turn your camera on, you do this. Like, you have the best job in the world.
Fuck you.
You have no idea what we go through, what we have to do. And especially mentally is the most fucked up job in the world.
That's I think, like, the biggest thing that I worry about when I watch all the young people come up. Robbie, Rhea, you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's tore me to pieces, and I was like a full adult and like, you know, seemingly supposed to be having like my head on straight. If I was going through some of the shit in like still my formative years, don't they say your brain's still developing until you're like 25?
Yeah.
You guys aren't even fucking full humans yet.
I know.
And you got to deal with like the good and the bad and the hype and the hate and the...
So many eyes on me.
Do you talk about... Are you in therapy?
I'm still a little bit too scared to hop into that. Yeah. I know I need to, but then I'm like, my trauma and my mental illness makes me me, and
no,
I'm so scared if
no,
it fix me,
no,
if
no,
I
no,
fix
no,
myself
no.
That I won't be cool
I
anymore.
I know exactly what you're saying. That is like the most
denial.
Classic cliche thing in comics, in actors, like people like me because I am an alcoholic, because I have a fucked up, you know, whatever. It's like, no, they don't. They really don't.
I know.
Like, that's something that, you know, you have, that's a part of you, but that's not, like, why they like you.
Yeah.
Like, you have to let that go because you will, you know, you'll crash and burn
if you
be like, I'm going to stay fucked up on purpose.
I know. That is a bizarre thing to think about. I always am like, no, I'll stay bad because, like, it's working.
Don't
but it's not going to turn out well if I do.
So you think like a couple more years of touring and partying, or is it something you're trying to transition into?
I mean, the partying, it kind of is, I like it. I mean, I do. I'm also 22, so it's like these are the years that I should be partying
and having
fun.
If you're doing this when you're like 35, it starts to kind of be like, well, wait a minute.
That's creepy and a problem.
Like, maybe we should have some personal growth here.
No, I think I'm just going to do a year of my college tour. I really only wanted to do the fall, but I'm like, I'd be an idiot to just end it after the spring. I got to keep going. It's pumping. It's going.
Yeah.
It's helping. So I'm going to do it for like a year, and I'm just going to see where it takes me, grow. And while I'm doing my tour, I'm going to do a lot of other things so that I can get more eyes on it.
I've thought about making the tour like a podcast, like a live podcast or a... like a show rather than just like, I'm going to party with you guys.
Yeah, but it's like...
because these people fucking love you.
I know.
Like, they will watch you and listen to you do anything. You don't have to be the dancing monkey.
I know. I have to realize that too. I just said I have too much. I feel like they have such high expectations for me where I'm like, I don't want to let anyone down. And then I'm scared if I do a live show, like they won't like me anymore. So it's just crazy.
I know. I'm like, I hear everything you're saying without having ever gone to your level. But I get it all.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they will... You could fucking read a book to them. And
I know.
Be like, oh
and
my
see,
God,
I know
fry.
That. I know that. But it's like, I just, there's two levels of my brain where it's like, you could do that. But then it's like, no, you can't.
But like, just so like 50-50.
Yeah. You know? No, I still slowly am. I still can party.
But like, you know, for the first half, we're going to like sit down and have an interview or talk you know, do a segment or whatever. I mean, the real reason I'm even doing this interview is to get to Grace O'Malley. Like, she's just, you're just my in to talk to her.
She's fucking awesome.
She's your road dog. She's your number one.
I wouldn't be able to do any of this. She's like my only person. We've been best friends since we were 10. The second I moved to the suburbs, I found her and we were just like inseparable. She moved, still we're best friends this whole time. I called her when I dropped out of school and I'm like, hey, moving to New York, want to come? Yep, sure.
Down.
Moved with me immediately. Yeah. We're roommates. Like, we do everything together. She keeps me sane. And if I didn't have that one person, I think maybe I would be a bitch and it would get to my head and I would think I was something that I'm not. So when I see, like...
She keeps you grounded?
Yeah.
She'll be like, shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah. No, even just, like, having her by my side, I'm like, oh, I'm still normal. Like, I have my best friend with me.
Yeah,
like,
that's huge.
It's cool. And when I look at, like, all the people doing this shit, I meet so many influencers or whatever... And they have, like, this huge entourage of, like, people that they just met. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're going to crash and burn. You're probably a loser. Mm-hmm. And then I see people that are cool and they have their best friend that they've known forever with them. I'm like, you're doing good. I like you.
Yes.
And I'm like, she's always going to be with me. And she's going to be really big on her own at one point.
Yeah.
But we'll always be with each other.
Yeah, that is, like, you got a little, like, a little entourage vibe in you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've got, like, your hometown friend while you're... You know, going out and making it. She's making a name for herself. You do it together as this, like, you know, tag team.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That, I think, is, like, invaluable.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, so many people don't. Even, like, my friends were supportive, like, getting me to Barstool. Mm-hmm. Like, and now they almost just kind of make fun of me for it. Like, they, like, blow it off. But to have someone, like, who
in
is a friend
me.
Before it
yeah.
to go through you with with you is, you know, like... That's something a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, she's so like my therapist, too, kind of.
Yeah.
She knows everything. Everything I go through, I'm going to her. And if I didn't have that, I'd probably be dead right now.
It sounds like. And, like, so you're with everything with your family, how has that been in, like, adult life now, being at Barstool, making a name for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Are you connected with your sisters? Are your parents involved in this? Or is it all you're kind of just on your own?
My relationship with my parents is weird. Like, we love each other. They're great parents. They gave me a great life. But, like, we're not very close where, like, I don't just call them to tell them about my day or tell them something that I'm going through type of relationship. It's like, I know they're there when I need them. And, like, I see them and I love them. They love me. My sisters, I'm close with one of them, the one that, like, wasn't all fucked up. The other two, like, you know, still learning and... it's like kind of hard to forgive just that type of shit. But now I'm realizing that I'm older, how much seeing all that shit when I was younger fucked me up. Like, I didn't realize how crazy it was. And now I'm like, oh, I have all these problems because of all this shit I saw when I was fucking 8. So I don't know. I have a lot of resentment that I need to get rid of. Working through it, though. I'm really close with my my parents and my cousins, which is good.
Even recognizing that. I think what I've just heard in this whole conversation is, like, your ability to recognize things, good or bad, or, you know, the perception of, like, to know that was a thing that I went through that's stuck with me. It's fucking me up a little bit. Or it's leading to this. And
I'm really
even
aware.
Just identifying that at 22?
Yeah, 22.
Is, like, so, again, so ahead of the game.
Yeah, I'm not fixing it yet, but I'm aware of it, and
I
know it's
kind
it's
of the
there.
First step. Like, you're not going to fix it overnight anyway.
Yeah,
so, like,
no, not at all.
At certain times. But that's, like, you know, again, wise beyond your years and all that. Have you ever thought about, like, taking a break from social media? Or do you just feel like you can't now?
I've really never thought about taking a break, no. Now I'm like, it's all or nothing. Like, I can't stop. And if I do, then I'm done with it.
Yeah, I would say, like, at your age, I would feel like, even for me, I still feel like I'm gonna keep going hard for like a few more years, and then maybe scale it back or transition or whatever. But this is the time to go like pedal to the metal. But I mean, that's also something to be aware of, that you've grown up like with a phone in your hand since like birth. You know what I mean?
Since
from day one, you're worrying about followers and engagement. Like that's probably not normal either. You know?
No, definitely.
So like that, I think they're gonna look back one day and be like, do you believe they used to be on social media like 24 hours a day?
I know.
Like they did that all. They didn't control it. They didn't like, you know, limit it.
It's gonna be weird.
Because it's not normal for your brain.
And
not normal for your heart. And like it's just not having a normal life. Another thing that I regretted is I wanted to have a normal life. And I was like hell bent on having a normal life when I should have just acknowledged this is not a normal life.
Nope.
And that doesn't mean you need to become something you don't want to be, but just acknowledge that it's not a 9-to-5 and it's not gonna be a normal family situation. And so like
you
accept that
both.
And I tried to have both and it got me neither, because it was like I'm failing over here and there's no way to really do that. So like
I'm kind of in the same position right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it like, sounds similar. I've and had, probably way worse for you, because again it's like a much faster trajectory than I ever had.
Yeah, because I have a boyfriend of like 3 years where it's like it's so normal, and it's like I met him in college before everything, and now I have this, like, I'm just like, I have this whole new life where it's like, okay, like, I still love him, and it's awesome, and we're together, but it's like, I'm a different person, and it's hard for him to recognize, because it's hard for anyone that isn't doing what we're doing to recognize it, so
like said,
I'm trying to be normal, and trying to be this big superstar that I want to be at the same time, so it's really hard to balance.
And there's like no...
There's no,
the
there's no book. There's no book to tell us what to do. There's no one to look to.
No. And like, again, even anything I can impart, it's like, I don't know what it's
Everyone's
like to do it in the year 2020.
Different.
Mine was 2015 and it was a fraction of, you know, so there's no like right or wrong answer, but it's definitely something that you like, you stumble your way through in a way. And you'll find like the right people will be there. And if they're not, then they're not the right people, whether it's friends, family, love, like whatever.
Exactly. I have a hard time making new friends, though. I'm really bad at that. I don't make any new friends. Like, everyone I meet, I'm like...
You're bad because of what? Like,
I don't know. Everyone I meet, I just automatically am like, oh, I'm not going to like you, so I don't know. Because I just have this...
I have that no new friends mentality.
Yeah,
is one,
I want everyone to be like my friends from home, which is such a bad mentality.
Because they can't be.
They can't be. No one's going to be like those people you grew up with.
And also, you might be shutting out someone who is.
I know, you know? I know. So I need to get better at that. That's the one thing I'm going to work on, is making new friends.
I know, but it's also such a weird thing to do at this stage in the game.
I know.
Like, where...
Do they like you? Do they just want to be your friend because you're who you are? Type of shit.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, now I'm just going to have one friend for the rest of me and Grace till I die.
Just marry Grace and call it a fucking day.
People think we're lesbian. Everyone thinks we're dating. It's bizarre. It's so funny, though.
What was the, I mean, I feel like you were making a name for yourself regardless, but jumping on BFFs was like
huge,
you know,
huge
slingshot
for
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, right away, you're thrown into the fire with Dave Portnoy. And I would imagine Josh Richards to you was someone you knew through Vine or through TikTok and was like, oh my God, Josh Richards, like all these followers. And next thing you know, you're like a co-host with them, really. Like,
yeah, that
you know,
was bizarre.
One third of the show. That was another time where I recognized you weren't nervous. You jumped right in. You knew how much to talk and how much not to talk. But you like slid in seamlessly there.
Yeah. What a lot of people say in what they're stupid for saying, I know my role on BFFs. Like, if I were to go in there and I were trying to talk over Dave, talk over Josh, or, like, be the main character, I wouldn't still be on the show.
Right.
Like, I was brought in to be a mediator, to, like, fact check for Dave and to, like, be the female perspective. I wasn't brought in. I mean, it's Dave Portnoy. Any show that you're on with Dave Portnoy, he's going to be the main fucking star.
Ain't nobody talking over Dave Portnoy.
Exactly.
I tried it for years. It doesn't work.
Exactly. And people are like, well, she just needs to talk more and shine more. She's so
but that's
different.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good that they want that.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean?
It is good because they love me. Yeah. BFFs, the love I get from BFFs is crazy, which I wouldn't think I would, because I really don't showcase myself a lot on that. But I know my role and I play it perfectly on BFFs. Yeah. And that has helped me so much. When I got asked to be on BFFs, I was like, what the fuck? I had never talked to Dave before. I think I had said two words to him.
Who asked?
Dave.
Asked? Oh, Dave did. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
to be like, this is a formal, like, not a guest appearance. Like, you're going to come on every week now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I was on, like, the third mic, like, over in the producer chair. I didn't even have a camera. And then I got a camera because my reactions were good, whatever. And then Dave was finally like, you want to sit next to me? I was like, yeah, kind of, like, sure. And then I sat next to him, and then it just gradually got better, and the chemistry and relationship between all three of us got better. And now it's like, I don't think BFF, not to tell him, like, suck my dick or anything, but I don't think BFFs would have stood a chance if there wasn't a third mic, whether it was me or someone else. Like, I think
they needed someone. And you had a female.
They needed someone, yeah.
Someone who knows that space. Like, yeah. That was,
they just needed someone. It was someone, a perfect fit. Or it would have been the
Dave
Portnoy show.
I don't know if you didn't have nerves or if you hit it well, but anything I ever saw, like, right away, you're, like, giving it back to Dave. You're mm-hmm. talking shit to Josh. You weren't afraid to call either of them out for whatever their, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it was. Was that something you were doing confidently or something you were doing like, oh, fuck, I got to do this and put on a front? Like,
I thought I was scared. I thought I was super scared of Dave. And then once I met him and talked to him, we have the same humor, and he reminds me of a lot of people from home. So I'm just like, I know him. I'm like, yeah. I know you. I can fuck with you because I know you're not going to be mad or take it personally. And mm-hmm. you shit on me, so why can't I shit on you type of thing? And I know he appreciates that. So it's like, I'm not that scared to do it. And Josh, I looked down on those type of TikTokers. So I was
you were like,
like,
I'm not impressed?
Like, you're Josh. But now I know him and
yeah,
love him.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
Death.
Like, he is like
he's
the anti-TikToker.
Monster.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Smart business guy, mm-hmm. like, you know, friendly, normal.
Amazing.
Like, knows that he looks ridiculous.
Yeah, he knows. Know? He's very yeah. aware. That's why I'm like, oh,
right.
you're
self-awareness
awesome.
Self-awareness is just key. The
key
to
it's
everything
such
in
key.
Life,
yeah.
man.
Really
but
is.
The fact that you even can do all that, like, I hope you realize how that level of confidence is, like, very, very rare.
Yeah.
That quiet, the right type of confidence, mm-hmm. not the cocky, annoying kind. Like,
yeah.
It's just kind of like, I know I can fuck with Dave because he's not going to... You know, fire me. He's
yeah.
not gonna beat me up. He's just
yeah.
you know, like
maybe oh he'll say
a lot
fuck
of,
you.
But a lot of people can't. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not able to just slide into that.
Yeah.
So I think you know you were thrown. I want to say you were thrown to the fire, but it's not like you know it was like sink or swim. There was never any sinking. Like you just mm-hmm. swam the whole fucking time. There was never
so.
A moment where you like crashed or burned. Mm-hmm. Crashed and burned. You never.
Maybe
were,
it's
like,
coming.
You know. Well, everybody has their.
We'll
like,
see.
It will.
Yeah.
Maybe not like totally crash and burn, but
it will come.
You will have some failures. Mm-hmm. You'll have some like flops,
mm-hmm.
but or maybe not. I don't know. You got some crazy fucking fans who sound like they'll
we'll
fuck
see.
With you through everything.
We'll see. I know.
But I mean, it's been awesome to see so far. It's been only a couple years too, so we'll have to do this like 4 or 5 more times before your career is all said and done.
I know. It's crazy to think about. It's really only been like a year since I've walked through the Barstool doors and signed.
A year? I thought it was at least 2. Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
No, May. Yeah, no, it's been I mean, I got my New York apartment in a month, so it's really been 11 months since I've lived here.
I mean, I would say probably aside from Call Her Daddy, like that's got to be the greatest rookie year in Barstool
yeah.
history.
Crazy.
And even, I'm going to give you the title overall because like, the way you've engaged with everybody mm. and the way that you, like, are in the mix and
yeah.
friendly to everybody.
I think
and,
that's
like,
important,
picked
too.
Up multiple shows,
mm-hmm.
worked with other people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the greatest rookie year in Barstool history. And one of the greatest in, like, internet history. It's crazy.
Thank you.
And it's not even really a rookie year because you've been doing it for so long. But,
yeah.
I mean, it all makes sense, too, from the childhood, mm-hmm. the good and the bad of childhood.
Yeah.
The skills and, like, the shit you did socially and mm-hmm. professionally, it all adds up. And, it's good to see that like it worked, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Because it all
could have been a big fail. Could have been a big fail.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? We'll wrap up with this. What do you think? Was there a plan B? Plan B? What, or was there like a fallback, a fail safe?
I mean,
or what
no.
do you think? Like,
no, there really wasn't. I was like, I'm doing this, or I'm not.
Not.
I'm doing this.
All right.
This
what
or not.
Tomorrow? Let's say, you know, knock on wood. God forbid, you get canceled. You're done. People
God,
don't want you on the internet.
Biggest fear, yeah.
How would you pivot? Because I do think you're like a survivor. Like you wouldn't.
Oh yeah.
You
yeah,
wouldn't
for
just
sure.
like.
I would try to. I mean, what I would want to do is just go find a rich husband. And okay, I'm good. I'll raise some kids.
You always there's always an OnlyFans.
Yeah.
You know, you can
yeah,
always go down
is,
that road.
There is. No, I hate myself too much to do that. But I would find a I would find a rich husband because I want to raise kids. I think I'd be a sick mom.
Yeah.
But if not that, I would probably go back to school.
Yeah.
Because I really
Which
enjoyed
is crazy. You
I can, kind of enjoyed what I did. So,
yeah.
I mean, I always
you also went to the most obscure school.
Obscure.
Of all time.
Obscure.
I
no one even knows.
I, what's it? Brown,
Baldwin
Mercer?
Baldwin Wallace. Nobody knows.
I mean, that
Nobody
is the knows. Fakest shit I've ever
oh, I
heard.
Know. There was like 4,000 people there, but.
That's more than I would have even guessed. I would have thought there was like 100 people there.
You know, it was tiny.
So you want a family though, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You think that there's like, are you going to try to do all of this and then like retire from it and do family life? Or are you going to try to do it all
I think.
I mean, that's so far down the road, you shouldn't even have an
so
answer to that.
So far down the road. But I mean, yeah. It definitely, like, 30 and up. Like, yeah, I'm going to do this for as long as I can, and then...
You're going to be so fucking rich. You're going to do this for so long and make so much money.
I hope so. Everyone keeps saying that. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know.
I mean, it's going super, super well for 11 months.
Yeah. We'll see what the next 11 bring.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all
I'm excited.
Well, congrats on all the success.
Thank you.
Don't forget about the little people on the way up, all right?
Oh, never, never. These are my people that helped me get to the top.
And for the people who might not know, what do we got? We got Plan Bree.
Yeah, we have Plan Bree, BFFs, because we got High, my YouTube, Brianna, Chicken Fry, a lot of new stuff coming out. My college tour is all on that. So if you want to keep up with me, just follow me on everything. There's something different on each platform.
That's also a huge part of it. Like, the fact that you do so many things is, like, a sign of, like, a lot of hard work that people probably don't recognize. It's, you're just talking into a mic, but
doing
four different things
here.
Plus a tour, all that. It's very, very impressive. So as someone who has watched, some people come in and they just let it, like, ride the wave and use the platform. Mm-hmm. And then there are people come in who, like, enhance it and make it better.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've done that, and I appreciate it as someone who's, you know, helped grow it. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great stuff.